You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Leah Carter.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, February 15, 2017.
I'm probably more criticized for being too political, but you know, it's the feminist saying of the personal is political. Politics does not have to be partisan. I mean, it's about your relationship to power.
A story about women in local politics coming up later in the show in today's WFHB Community Report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, scams targeting millennials on a new edition of our consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
County residents and officials showed up at last night's county council meeting to protest the city of Bloomington's proposed annexation of seven areas bordering the city limits. The annexation could add more than 9,000 acres to the municipality. Dustin Dillard, the fire chief for Perry Clear Creek Township, spoke first.
One thing that has been mentioned several times with this annexation is enhanced services, including enhanced fire services. Emergency response, from what I can see collectively with this plan, was clearly not consulted. There are several miles of centerline annexation that complicates emergency response both for the city and for the townships. Essentially, one side of the street will receive full EMS and fire, and the other will receive select EMS and fire.
Dillard went on to say he believes response times could double in some sections of the proposed annexation area.
In regards to EMS services, the Fire Protection District currently responds to all 911 emergencies, where the City of Bloomington only responds to a select type of EMS call, meaning that aging individuals with medical alert systems are not going to receive response from the fire department, which can mean a lot, and those minutes can turn into life-threatening situations.
Trustees for Van Buren and Washington townships also spoke against the annexation. Barb Early is the Washington Township trustee and president of the Executive Committee of the Northern Monroe County Fire Territory.
The annexation of parts of Bloomington Township will impact the fire territory's ability to adequately fund our fire and EMS services at a time when we are trying to establish a fire station in Washington Township to better serve the western portion of my township and Bloomington Township when access roads are closed by I-69.
Early says she wants to see more extensive research done before annexation is considered. Donna Ego is a Highland Village resident. That's just the west side of Bloomington. She said she's satisfied with the services the county's first responders provide.
I have quick response time right now for my sheriff's department, my township fire department, and my ambulance service. I'm protected and safe, and I don't need over $400 million spent on expanded fire services. I don't need new police cars and fire stations. My first responders are effective now, and I don't want my tax dollars taken away from my first responders.
Scott Ferris spoke against the annexation on behalf of neighborhoods in Area 6 on Bloomington's northeastern edge.
Those neighborhoods are Rachel's Glen and Devonshire North and South and Lanham Ridge Estates. Almost to the person, we have an almost absolute majority of folks do not want to be annexed by the city.
Ferris asked that the council support the neighborhood's anti-annexation lobbying effort at tomorrow night's city council meeting. Prior to taking public comment, County Council President Ryan Cobine cautioned the speaker, saying, quote, "The county council has only very indirect influence over how the annexation proposal proceeds."
As is the case with the local income tax council, current state law gives all of the power in the annexation decision to the city, with some leverage broadly distributed to property owners in the proposed areas for annexation via remonstrance. No other local government unit affected by annexation, not school districts, townships, nor county government, has any direct say in the matter.
Cobine says he plans to lobby city officials to scale back the annexation.
On Monday, Indiana Senate Bill 420 was discussed at the State House in Indianapolis. The bill would preserve 10% of trees in state forests that are cut down due to deforestation by timbering companies. Brown County resident Dave Seastrom attended the hearing, along with several other supporters of the bill. Seastrom is also a contributor to WFHB's Brown County Hour.
The first 45 minutes of comments were all people supporting SB 420. And we had a lineup of retired professors and, it was just incredible. It was probably about six PhDs in a row that testified that not only is it imperative to protect 10%, several of them said that it should be more than that.
Seastrom says the hiking trails of Brown County are being compromised due to the timbering companies making their way through the forests. In order to restore these forests and trails before they're gone, he says little steps need to be made. He says the request for 10% of state forests to be set aside from deforestation is actually fairly modest.
The reality is, in Indiana, 90% of all timber that's harvested comes from private land. So the 10% that comes from state land, state forest land, we're asking for 10% of that to be set aside. So if you look at it in total, it would be 1%. I mean, and it'll have no financial effect whatsoever on the timbering industry.
A similar bill was put before the state legislature last year and failed. But instead of 10%, last year the bill asked for 23%. No vote was taken at Monday's hearing. A decision is expected to be made in the next week about whether to send the bill to the full Senate for a vote. A rally in favor of the bill will be held on Monday, February 20th, at the Capitol Building from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. The rally will feature speakers and musicians. There will be transportation from Bloomington for those interested in attending and free parking at the State Museum.
The City of Bloomington Animal Shelter reports they experienced reduced intake and euthanasia rates last year. They also saw an uptick in adoptions. Now, during the last year, 2016, the shelter reports the euthanasia rate dropped to 10%. That's down from 16% in the previous year. The animal shelter also sent nearly 200 more animals to foster care, and they placed 100 more animals in adoptive homes. The shelter depends on community engagement to keep its inclusive policies. The city's director of animal care and control, Virgil Sauter, says the facility is open as an open admissions shelter.
What we're talking about when we use the term open admission shelter is that our doors are open to take animals in at any time. This means regardless of space or how many kennels we have available, we will take an animal in that is in need coming to our door. We are very upfront. You know, if we don't have a kennel space, that we might have to euthanize the animal based on that space. However, our foster homes, what that does for us is that gives us extra, basically, kennel space to think of. So rather than just the physical shelter, our shelter has grown with these foster homes.
In addition to opening their homes to animals, volunteers log thousands of hours at the shelter. In 2015, people volunteered 9,500 hours, and last year that number increased to over 10,000.
This improvement is a trend that has been going on for the last 10 years. We have been making slight improvements, and some of it is things that we started, you know, back years ago with changes to our adoption program, looking at recruiting more fosters, and just kind of getting the word out about the shelter and what the shelter does. So a lot of what improvements we have in last year kind of go back to things that have been in place a long time that have kind of been pushing us in this direction. Last year, I think a lot of what helped is we had some really, when it comes to animals going to foster homes and adoption rates, we have started recruiting a bit more fosters. We've got a lot of really dedicated fosters and new fosters into the program that were able to take more animals in because they had more availability.
Sauter encourages the community to help by fostering animals or volunteering in the shelter's adoption program. Volunteers offer adoption counseling, walk dogs, and clean kennels. Sauter also asks that the community think about the shelter when looking to adopt a pet.
An assistant professor with the Department of Health Sciences at IUPUI is conducting research to develop a new way of increasing empathy among physicians. The IU School has identified empathy as needed in the healthcare profession. An IUPUI Indianapolis news article says that Professor Amber Comer's research includes interviews with physicians and patients after interactions between the two. Comer and another researcher plan to develop a text messaging application that provides specific instructions on how to convey empathy through statements or body language. Text messaging was chosen because doctors already use smartphones for a variety of purposes. And as Comer explains, quote, "At the end of the day, a patient doesn't really know if you're a great doctor. They just know if you were empathetic, if you were nice to them," unquote. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Leah Carter.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Kathy Fuentes Roer has risen up as a figure in local politics in the past few years. She spends much of her time advocating for public education issues. She took this to the next level during the fall when she decided to run for a seat on the school board. Through her story, reporter Caitlin Haas tells this next story of political engagement in Bloomington. And this story comes courtesy of a partnership between WFHB and a class at the IU Media School taught by Amy Gastelum.
More and more women are being elected into leadership positions all around the country, including women like Elizabeth Warren, Nancy Pelosi, and former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton.
It truly is up to us.
We will not allow you to turn back the clock on women's health and women's rights.
But what about the local hemisphere of politics? Mothers and community women who are passionate about standing up to make their own voices heard.
Mother took us to peace rallies when I was a kid down in Detroit, and we've marched and been to political rallies. So my mother is president of the League of Women Voters of her city. My grandmother was president of the League of Women Voters of Michigan. So I've had politically active women all the way up my my family tree.
Kathy Fuentes Roer has just won a spot on the Monroe County Community Schools Corporation School Board. Kathy has never run for a political office, but spent a lot of time advocating for public education while her children were growing up. When she joined the Indiana Coalition for Public Education 6 years ago, she was thrust into her first leadership role.
I said I'd help with the message, and when I read the minutes back then when I got home, the man who was wonderful has now passed away, but that was being our secretary and writing up the minutes, said Kathy Fuentes Roer was asked and agreed to be the chairperson of this organization. I started screaming in my house like a madwoman, like, no, freaking out. So I sent an email to everybody on that list that said, oh, you're wonderful people, and I'm so grateful to you, but I did not agree to be a leader. I'll totally help you, but I am not leadership, you know, ready. I can't, you know, I don't want to be that.
One group that promotes women engagement in political and community leadership is the Democratic Women's Caucus in Monroe County. Sue Wanzer, a current school board member, helped form the caucus to what it is today.
The Democratic Women's Caucus was first formed when Regina Moore at that time looked around at the city council and said, we have 9 members of the city council and they're all white men.
So Regina Moore, former city clerk in Monroe County, along with Wanzer, began a process of recruiting women on various boards and commissions all around the community. They helped these women gain the means and support to run for local political offices, like city council and county council, even supporting candidates like Shelley Yoder. School board members are nonpartisan, so while Kathy and Sue are not financially supported or endorsed by the caucus, they're friends of the caucus and its mission as a whole. Before her win, Kathy ran with the belief of having someone on the school board who understood parents' concerns.
We'll see. The school board thing is an uncomfortable idea also.
How so?
Oh, just, even just the being up on that platform that they all sit on, and they all have their little little microphones, and people give presentations, and it's just a different, uncomfortable role for me. I'm not a super formal person.
Kathy's never been very worried about her role as a wife or a mother conflicting with the things she believes in. But she did think carefully about running. She said she thought about it 4 years ago, but decided she didn't want to miss out on her children's lives at the time. But on November 8th, Kathy watched with her family as she won the District 2 seat for the Monroe County Community Schools Corporation Board.
So I think the higher you get up in a more powerful position, the more people might want to backlash on you. But, always in society, like, we're all part of our own socialization. There is the mama guilt. What if I can't get home in time for things, or worrying that I'm so distracted because I'm such a zealot that I get so focused and fixated. So it's been a challenge to try to carve time. That was part of why I was approached to ask to run 4 years ago for school board. And I was worried about not wanting to miss out on some of the things that are going on in my kids' life. So that's a dilemma of being, of all my friends who are working mothers, and anything that takes you away from family time, wanting to be cloned so that you can be present and do what you're feeling compelled to do out in the public sphere as well. More criticized, probably. I'm probably more criticized, and I don't hear it directly, I hear it indirectly, for being too political. But you know, it's the feminist saying of the personal is political, right? And politics does not have to be partisan. I mean, it's about your relationship to power. And so if you refuse to get involved in politics, you're allowing somebody else to have power and control over the decisions that go on to affecting your life. I think we all need to be political because the world is political. Who is it? Well, you always grow when you go into an uncomfortable space. If you take on something that's a new challenge, I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt said, you must do the thing you think you cannot do. I certainly did learn so much from the people around me, and from doing all this advocacy. I've met so many amazing people around the state. And so a lot of it has been this sort of natural evolving nature of, it would be good to have a voice at that table.
That story was aired via a partnership between WFHB and a class at the IU Media School taught by Amy Gastelum.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service. Now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Up next, our weekly Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
We've warned a good deal lately about scams targeting senior citizens, but now it looks like they're even more successfully hitting younger folks. And I'm talking to you, especially, if you're a millennial. Millennials are people born after 1982 and before 2004. So if you're in school, or not long out of it, listen up. Recently, Microsoft and the National Cybersecurity Alliance did a global survey and discovered that scammers have been ramping up their internet skills, and now fully half of all the suckers who fall for con games are, you guessed it, millennials. Phone calls still work best on older folks, but pop-ups, fake emails, and bogus websites are victimizing young people far more than they did just a couple of years ago. Take the tech support scam, for instance. That's where you're told there's some problem with your computer, and the friendly tech support people are ready to help you fix it. This announcement comes in an email or a pop-up, or you click on something and suddenly find yourself looking at a website screen which tells you. All of them want you to just click here now for a quick fix. But if you fall for that, what you get is a quick digital colonoscopy. Viruses are inserted in your computer, your phone, your tablet, and maybe even your smart TV, which will steal your personal information, track your keystrokes, copy your address book, or even hold the device for ransom. The survey found that 2/3 of the people surveyed had run into this scam, and 20% of them had fallen for it. Again, half the victims were young millennials. Only 17% were seniors. This time of year, these tactics are being heavily used to launch tax scams, which come in two flavors: immediate demands for money and phishing with a PH to steal your identity. The ID thieves want enough info to file a fake tax return under your name, jiggered so a fat refund goes to their bank account. Sometimes they use the telephone, but more and more the fraudsters are hitting pay dirt online, and the pockets they're digging into are younger and younger. And now the bad guys have started impersonating people who prepare taxes, accountants and firms like H&R Block, to ask you to update or confirm your sensitive personal information, which means let them steal it. Remember, real tax people always send you letters in the U.S. mail. So if you haven't received anything in the mail, anything you hear on the phone or see online is a swindle. Anytime you think you need to deal with the county, state, or federal revenuers, or with whoever does your taxes, make sure you contact them, not the other way around. Look up their phone number in a public listing and call to verify that anything you've received is real before you respond in any way. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Kathy Norton, Jade Chappelle, and Katie O'Rourke, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Caitlin Haas.
Our engineer today is Joe Crawford. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Leah Carter. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. Recognized among the best newscasts in 2015 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
And you can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send your inquiries to news@wfhb.org. And stay tuned for Standing Room Only, our award-winning weekly lecture series, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.